The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole, 6-0-1-0.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Monday, November 11th. Field and Matthew hanging out with you on a very special day. Of course, today marks Veterans Day, where we celebrate, really appreciate all those who have served, are currently serving, or will one day serve our country. The most indispensable part of our great nation are those who are willing to dedicate their life to it and serving it, protecting our freedom, and doing more than most could ever reasonably imagine doing. Incredible sacrifice.
I couldn't agree more, Field, and I would just like to add to that, in addition to those that have served, are currently serving, or will serve, I'd like also to extend that to their families. Yes. Because while we think about the men and women who serve our country, the fact is that there are people at home. There are husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and daughters and parents that also have to sacrifice to be without their loved one, to raise children on their own. It's a tremendous sacrifice for not just the people in the service, but their family members as well. And so I think it's important to recognize and salute them as well.
That includes, of course, our own Daniel Dopp.
That is
Daniel
right.
Daniel Dopp. He and his brother both served our country. Daniel, we appreciate you daily for all that you do in this podcast and all that you brought to our great country.
I appreciate you too, Field.
Well, so Daniel spent 6 years.
Yep.
And was in the intelligence.
Hence, Secret Squirrel.
Hence Secret Squirrel. So a lot of people often ask where that nickname comes from. That's where it comes from, is because those in the intelligence community.
Correct.
Often were nicknamed Secret Squirrel.
Yep.
So, it is not unique to Daniel, but it's unique to us here on the 06010 podcast. If you are interested, if you'd like to hear or read more about Daniel's story, I wrote about it. Was it last year or 2 years ago? Last year? So last year, if you just look up, I think if you Google love, hate Daniel Dopp, my suspicion is that's what will come up.
That is accurate. That is what my mother tells me.
Okay.
Mama yes. Dopp says so. Mama Dopp, active on the Twitter. Go
and
find
by the
her.
Way. Yeah, shout out to Mama Dopp, who, again, as we say, we celebrate all the families of service men and women as well. So, Mama Dopp, what is her Twitter handle?
I think Mama it's Dopp Mama.
Dopp Mama, that's right.
Dopp Mama. Dopp Mama.
The inverse yeah. of Mama Dopp.
Mama,
she's M-A-M-A. Almost always in the Twitter chat if you want to have a live conversation with her during the show. She watches every show.
Aw, so, dedication to the cause right
yeah,
there.
That's right.
I love that.
We love
Dopp
Mama, and we love our very own Daniel Dopp, who you can find on Twitter at Daniel Dopp or on Instagram at Something to Break. So be sure to thank Daniel and every serviceman and woman and their families for their service today. It's not nearly enough. Candidly, just, you know, saying thank you for your service, sending out a tweet, taking a couple minutes on podcast Field. It's not nearly enough to recognize the sacrifices that you and everyone else have made, but it's the least we could do.
No question about that.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, so if you are sitting here watching the live stream, by the way, you may have noticed during a shot of Daniel Dopp that there is a cute as a button girl sitting behind the glass as well on the in the studio. And you may be wondering to yourself, who is that?
Right.
And we have
you guys
special guest.
Can't possibly appeal to any sort of younger demographic.
That's right.
Not with Barry as the host.
That's
but,
correct.
But we do have a
special
guest.
Very
in special studio.
Guest here today. Not Cool Keith is the father of three wonderful children, the
yes.
youngest of which is Allison, his only daughter. Hello, Allison.
Say again.
Hello.
Are you having fun here at work with your dad today?
Yeah.
And Allison, how old are you again?
8.
8. And are you a football fan?
Yeah.
And you're a huge fan of which team?
Browns.
The Browns, yeah, just like your father. That makes a lot of sense.
And what is your least favorite football team?
Steelers.
But what do you actually call them?
Squealers.
The Squealers!
Right.
How about that? The Pittsburgh Squealers. Big game on Thursday night. I can tell Allison's going to be ready for that one.
Yeah, Squealers-Browns.
How about that?
Allison,
that. On a day off from school, having a daddy-daughter day.
That's pretty
awesome.
Cool. Listen,
very
no
cool.
one loves daddy-daughter day more than me. Allison, I'm curious, what grade are you in?
Third.
You're in third grade. So, wow, so you started early. I have eight-year-old daughters, but they're in second grade. We held them back a little bit. What's your favorite subject in school?
Science.
Oh, yeah. What do you like about science?
I would say explosions.
I agree. Explosions are pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And I also learned before the show, you do gymnastics, right, Allison?
Yep.
And I saw you do a cartwheel earlier. What's like the coolest thing that you can do in gymnastics? Do you do the beam? Do you do the bars? What's your favorite part of type of gymnastics? The floor?
Doing the vault.
The vault? Whoa. I couldn't do that.
No, he couldn't. Neither could I, to be honest.
Very
but
fair.
I could Field could do it worse than I could do, I feel.
That's not very nice of him to say, is it?
No.
Hey, Allison, when you're in school, do they teach you anything about like teamwork and how to be a good classmate and a good friend at school?
Yeah.
What's the rule they teach you?
To respect others the way you want to be treated.
Oh, that's a good rule for you on Twitter there, Field.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just saying.
Have the Arizona Cardinals gotten into your mentions this morning or something?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying for you.
Well, let's ask Allison one more question. Who's going to win on Thursday night, Allison? The Browns or the Squealers?
Answered like a true Browns fan.
Yeah.
Squealers.
What?
What?
Okay. You know what, though, Allison?
I have one more question for Allison.
Okay, what's your last question?
My last question is, is your daddy a good daddy?
Yeah,
I bet he is. Yeah. I bet he is. He's the best. We like him a lot here as well. So there you go.
We love having Not Cool Keith on the show every day. Even on a day where he isn't technically supposed to be at work, he brings his daughter in, and hopefully we can provide her with an hour of entertainment.
Yes.
So let's get now to
nice job,
the football.
Allison.
Great job there by Allison. And we start our recap of Week 10, Matthew, in
Allison,
Tampa Bay.
Allison is like 180 degrees from David Johnson.
That's a very good point.
Allison did a great job. Allison outperformed expectations. David Johnson, not so much.
Yeah, David Johnson managed a robust zero fantasy points yesterday. Now, if you play in non-decimal scoring, he actually got you minus one in PPR.
Yes,
so
he
just
did.
A monster day from David Johnson. But Matthew, unlike that game a few weeks ago when he had just one touch, he played 30 snaps yesterday. So it's not like he was a total non-factor in terms of overall snaps. The problem was he was part of a work share, and he was ineffective. Now, we knew that this Buccaneers run defense was really good.
Yeah,
we had
our
questions about whether he'd be able to run the football. But, like, is this like a running back by committee situation in Arizona? Kenyon Drake played way more snaps than him. He got the first two running back touches of the game. He looked better. I mean,
I was going to say, like, forget numbers, forget everything. Just from the eye test.
Yeah.
Kenyon Drake looked good. Drake looked like the guy we saw, the week before against the 49ers. David Johnson looked like, who's that fat old guy? I mean, in all seriousness, listen, I love David Johnson. You guys know this. Like, he has long been one of my favorite players in the NFL. He has been on the podcast as well. So I want to be clear here. Like, I am pro David Johnson. I am a longtime David Johnson fan and supporter. He did not look like David Johnson yesterday. Like, and I think that's credit to David Johnson because he's clearly not 100% healthy. He got out there to try to gut it out.
I don't know about that, though.
He did not look like David Johnson.
Well, but I don't have any reason to believe he's not close to 100% health. He was a full participant in practice all week. If he wasn't close to healthy, then they would just limit him all week. I think he's healthy. I think he just got nullified yesterday. Healthy enough for it to not be the primary concern for me.
I just felt like on runs he looked slow. He looked just when he had the ball in his hands, he looked bigger than I'm used to seeing him look. He didn't look like David Johnson to me.
It's a tough one here. Here's why. Next up, they go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
The game is in San Francisco after they played him last week. We saw Kenyon Drake do work against the 49ers, but still. It's a good defense. Then they go on a bye. Then they play the Rams, which, the Rams, I'm not quite sure what the defense is really made of. And then the Steelers, who are all of a sudden a really good defense. For the next 4 weeks, which that means the final 3 weeks of the regular season plus the first week of the fantasy playoffs, I don't know what you do with David Johnson and Kenyon Drake for that matter. We're going to go week by week, obviously, but
we are
thinking after yesterday.
If you have him on your team, I don't. I mean, you know, we'll see what the practice reports are. We'll see if anything comes out. I hear you. I know what the practice report said. I understand that. I'm telling you from the eye test, that didn't look anything close to the David Johnson I remember, even when he was in space. Like, yeah. I'm not even saying like that, hey, he was bottled up or anything like that. He, and whether it's because he's coming back from injury and maybe it just takes a game or two. I mean, again, we saw it with Melvin Gordon, right? It took a few weeks, but Melvin Gordon finally looked like Melvin Gordon.
Right.
So, like, David Johnson's too young and too talented to be this ineffective. Like, it'll get better. The question is when, and does it get better in time for the fantasy playoffs? And if you're sitting there and you're 5-5 after this week, or you're 6-4 and you're in the middle of a playoff run, like, how much do you trust him? And I think the answer is you can't trust him that much. Like,
no.
if I could get 75 or 80%, 80 cents on the dollar for David Johnson right now based on name recognition, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm starting to get pretty nervous about this one, because you have to wonder too, if eventually they take the long view of this and say, hey, listen, let's say this injury does linger or it is a problem. Maybe it's more of a problem than I'm giving you credit for right now. You've got Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
You can just rely on him. Rely on him down the stretch if David Johnson is not healthy enough to go. A running back that's making a ton of money and still has, I believe, 2 more years in his contract after this. You might take the long view with David Johnson.
Especially given that we expect, the current expectation is that Chase Edmonds will be back this week. I've seen some reports on that. We'll see. We'll see.
Potentially.
But potentially, at least. It's in the mix there. And look, the Cardinals aren't going to the playoffs this year. Like, the last three games have not. Since I got into that, I'm not saying it's a cause. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that since the Cardinals came after fantasy, since the Cardinals' official Twitter handle came after fantasy managers, they're 0-3. Is karma a thing? You tell me.
I don't know.
They were on a three game win streak. They came after fantasy managers. They trolled Fantasy Football Nation. I had a few words with them. And since that time, they're now 0-3. You tell me. Is cause or causation? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say that's a win for the.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying
that's a win for TMR right there.
Fantasy karma is undefeated.
Well,
I'm just saying.
One more Cardinal note, Matthew, is that yesterday Christian Kirk actually had his first receiving touchdown of the season, and then he added two more, 6 for 138 with 3 touchdowns. He's got 10 or more targets in 4 of 7 games. Like, do we just, if you have Christian Kirk in your lineup and he's healthy, do you just play him regardless of matchup because the volume is so good and the talent is good enough that, I understand, touchdowns were fleeting, literally, up until yesterday, but you saw the immense upside of a player that they've got a lot invested in and could be the centerpiece of their offense, at least in the passing game, when Larry Fitzgerald eventually retires.
There's no question about that. He's gotten a red zone target in 6 of 7 games so far this year, so you're confident about that. And look, this was a perfect matchup against Tampa Bay that, you know, obviously has a brutal secondary. But, you know, look, since he returned in week 8, right, he's actually started to line up some on the perimeter as well. 5 for 123 and 2 touchdowns on 8 targets when he's lined up out wide,
right,
which is exciting. And, you know, they go 4 wide a decent amount as well. Rest of the season, I would, if asking me to pick a Cardinals pass catcher, I would prefer Christian Kirk to Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, for sure. And I've been there for a while. I think
sure,
we've all
of course,
been there
yeah.
for a while.
Right. And so Christian Kirk was we talked him up on Fantasy Football Now. He was a top 12 play for a lot of us, I believe, including you and I, this week. And so that ended up working out. San Francisco is not ideal, obviously, in the bye. And we mentioned the schedule. Niners bye, Rams, Steelers. But given the volume of passing that the Cardinals do, and the expectation is they'll be down in decent number of games, especially if David Johnson isn't being as effective as he has, they're going to find different ways to move the ball. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he's a wide receiver 3, and he's more of a wide receiver 2 in the right matchup. But after this game, I don't know how you bench him.
Well, the only thing I'll say, and we just mentioned it with David Johnson, is that schedule is even more perilous as it pertains to passer catchers, right? I mean, San Francisco, bye, Rams, Steelers. That's an impressive set of defenses they're about to face. That being said, you have to feel good about the volume there and the talent. Let's move forward to Kareem Hunt, because he made his season debut yesterday for the Browns. And Matthew, one of my thoughts during the week last week was that what I was hopeful for was not...
I like the fact, by the way, that I like that you keep track of your thoughts during the week.
Okay.
One of my thoughts during the week, like as if you've got a bunch of thoughts and you write them down. Like, when you have a thought, you're like, you know what? This is a thought that I'm having. And you just sort of write it down.
Okay, I could have said, what are my calls of the week? Whatever. Would you rather have I called it a call?
Sure. Okay. But I just, I like that you called it a thought, okay, because then I could make fun of you.
One of my thoughts during the week was that.
Field's thoughts.
Maybe. That should be a new thoughts segment. From the field.
Thoughts from the field. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that. Figure out we need some sort of sounder or something like that.
Thoughts from the field. Well, a thought from the field last week was that when Kareem Hunt made his Browns debut, it would not come at the cost of Nick Chubb. I was hoping they'd follow the Green Bay model. And yesterday, they followed the Green Bay model. Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Jamal Williams, Kareem Hunt. It's not exactly a carbon copy, but the idea was that Kareem Hunt could see some work on his own, like without Nick Chubb on the field, but he could also see plenty of work on the field at the same time as Nick Chubb. And yesterday, there he was, 4 carries for 30 yards, which doesn't blow you away. He had 9 targets. He had 7 catches yesterday, 14.4 fantasy points. He actually outscored Nick Chubb, despite the fact that Chubb had 22 touches.
And kudos to you, by the way. At the start of Fantasy Football Now, we each did like kind of a long shot and a bold prediction. And your bold prediction yesterday was double-digit fantasy points for Kareem Hunt. You know, you said 10 fantasy points for Kareem Hunt, went it even better, 14.4. And I think given the uncertainty about his role, very nice call by you. Certainly worked out.
It wasn't the sauciest of calls, I conceded. But still, the idea that like some people wanted to wait a week for Kareem Hunt, they wanted to see him earn their way into it.
That was my call, yeah.
And I felt like, you know, there had to be, for as little confidence as the Browns coaching staff has inspired in terms of maximizing playmakers this year, they actually did a nice job yesterday with Kareem Hunt, which makes me think, Matthew, that he is kind of comparable to Jamal Williams again going forward. Now, I think he's a more talented player, obviously.
Sure, of course.
But I think that Kareem Hunt, and again, the Browns, we now have, what, 8 teams left to have their bye. The Browns have already had theirs. Like, I think he'll be somewhere between 20 and 30 my running back ranks each week, depending on who they're playing against.
Yeah, I think that's right. Look, you know, 6 teams were on a bye last week, so the pickings were a little bit slim. Buffalo did a real nice job in shutting down Odell Beckham Jr., so looking for other opportunities to sort of move the ball. And they did a nice job bottling up Nick Chubb, as you mentioned, you know, to the extent that you can. And so I think that was partially it, just sort of looking around and trying to find it. But it was clear that they had a design in mind. How can we get Kareem Hunt involved and touching the ball, knowing how explosive a player he is? And that's clearly what they did. And if this is what he does in his first game back, you have to be excited moving forward. Very much a viable flex play moving forward with upside for more.
It didn't quite cash in, but Odell Beckham Jr., if you watched this game yesterday, the Browns were intent on getting him the football.
100%.
He had 12 targets.
Including some in the end zone, like they tried.
Not only that, but in the NFL, you're not credited with a target if a penalty is called on the play. So Odell had 2 separate throws to him in the end zone where he was basically tackled.
Yes.
So neither of those is credited as an end zone target or a target, period. They tried everything they could to do two things. One, get Odell Beckham Jr. the football in the end zone. Two, find a way to not score from the 2-yard line. But
31% target share in week 10. You compare that with a 22% target share weeks 5 through 9. So a clear increase in attempts to get him the ball. Now 7 straight games without a touchdown.
That part's unnerving. It's unnerving. I would just say this: if you,
like I forget. Our friend DJ Gallo mentioned this on Twitter, and I retweeted it that Minkah Fitzpatrick, the defensive back, has more touchdowns this year than Odell Beckham Jr.
Sounds about right.
Christian Kirk scored 3 times as many touchdowns in 1 week as Odell Beckham Jr. has scored this year.
But so what I would say for Odell is that obviously. You wanted the touchdown, of course.
Sure.
We can decide whether the Steelers are a massive disadvantage for opposing wide receivers, but Mike Clay has continually harped on weeks 11 through 17 as being more generous for Odell than the first 10 weeks of his schedule.
Right.
The schedule lightens up. If you have been riding the wave of Odell, then your hope is that, like, hey, maybe they turned a corner. Maybe they had a long, hard look in the mirror and they realized that even if it comes at the cost of efficiency elsewhere, let's just use our best playmakers. The ball needs to be in the hands of Odell, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
And if Rashard Higgins has a game-winning touchdown because there's so much tension going somewhere else,
great. Whatever. Yeah.
But for the most part, it's going to be those four guys, as it should be.
I just want you to know that, like, I primed the pump for the OBJ release. Like, I knew it wasn't coming this week, but I knew it was definitely like a, you know.
So you're calling it this week, maybe?
I'm calling it this week.
Okay, good. Do you want to do it right now? Or you want to wait till Thursday?
I'm gonna wait till Thursday.
Okay, Thursday. They play on Thursday night. Let's do it on Thursday. So let's get to the next segment,
They play Pittsburgh on Thursday night. It's a short week. And then just, you mentioned the schedule very quickly. So after the Steelers on Thursday, they've got 10 days to prepare for a home game against the Dolphins. Then they're at the Steelers again. Then they're home to Cincinnati. So certainly next four
look
good.
They have two matches with the Bengals, actually. Is that right? Yeah, two more matches with the Bengals. They have the Dolphins. And depending on what you think on the Steelers secondary, because yesterday they were really good. In previous weeks, they were not so great.
Squealers.
That's right. Allison.
They are the Squealers. Not cool,
she
Keith.
May
you
not
are
paying attention anymore.
Not cool, Keith. You neither am I. Yeah. not cool, Keith. You agree with our assessment of the Browns? Your thoughts on that game?
No, I think the way you broke it down was exactly how I saw it. They definitely seemed to put a lot more attention into making sure that OBJ was getting touches, and obviously it didn't play out statistically, but yes, I was really happy with the way they approached it. Obviously, down at the goal line, they just need to have better play calling. I don't know why why bring all 11 guys in tight. Spread them out, make it 8-on-8 football.
Easy to
give yourself a chance.
Keith, it was analysis paralysis, right? They overthought it too much. That happens frequently in coaching. I'm not surprised that it happened yesterday. It will continue to happen going forward. Let's play some something or nothing, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Some players that surprisingly had monster days yesterday, and do we think it amounts to something, or do we think that maybe not so much? Let's begin with Darius Slayton, who had 10 catches for 121 yards and two touchdowns, twice as many as Odell Beckham has all season. He has multiple touchdowns receptions for the second time in his past three games. He is a big play waiting to happen. He's plenty of speed. Sterling Shepard is currently out with a concussion. Something or nothing here for the speedy fifth-round pick out of Auburn, factoring in that the Giants do go on a bye this upcoming week.
They do. So can I choose both?
Sure.
Here's what I will say. Something, it is both something and it is nothing.
Right.
It is something in this sense. Kid's a talented player. Like, forget anything else. Just, like, you watch the kid, like, he can play. They found something. The Giants found something in Darius Slayton. So, like, just an impressive young man on the football field, you know, making contested catches, making sidelines with, you know, the toe taps. Like, he's an impressive young man just on the football field. So I would say it is something from that sense. And also, you mentioned Sterling Shepard out. So, look, Sterling Shepard, look, we hope for the best. It does not feel like he's coming back anytime soon. If you read the tea leaves, that we don't know.
There are people in New York who cover the team diligently who are saying, like, some of his teammates wonder if he should ever play football again.
Right.
Which is scary, and you certainly want the best for Sterling and his health first. Scary thought.
Very scary thought. But given the way the season has gone for the Giants, the expectation is that it's going to be later rather than sooner that we see Sterling Shepard back on a football field. So there's opportunity there for Darius Slayton, who certainly made a name for himself and certainly seems to have a connection with Daniel Jones. It is nothing, I believe, because of, you mentioned their schedule. So they're on a bye this week.
Yep.
Then they're at Chicago, home to Green Bay, at Philadelphia. So you don't like the next 2 weeks. Green Bay and Philadelphia don't scare you as much. But remember, Evan Ingram didn't play in this game either. And Saquon Barkley did nothing in this game, and you have to expect that if you're thinking about this team in terms of pass catchers on this team, that in a general week with full health, that at best Darius Slayton is fourth after Barkley, Ingram, Golden Tate. And so, look, he had the two touchdown game a couple weeks ago, but then, you know, week eight he had the two touchdowns against the Giants, but did nothing like in between in week 9.
Right. So it's very up and down. So here's what I'll say, and I'm going to tie this into Daniel Jones because my logic applies to both of these players.
Yep.
Daniel Jones yesterday had 308 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, added 20 rushing yards, 30.3 fantasy points.
He was great.
Third time that Daniel Jones has been in a good spot this year for fantasy.
Wait a minute. I think he had 4
delivered.
Touchdown passes.
Oh, he may have had 4.
He had 4. He had 2 to Golden Tate and 2 to Darius
Slayton. I'm sorry. 4 passing touchdowns yesterday for Daniel Jones. I'm going to use the same logic because I think it applies here. The upcoming schedule that you alluded to, the bye, and then Chicago, and then Green Bay, and then Philly. But look at the playoff schedule for the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
The Giants' playoff schedule. At Philly, home to Miami. At Washington, home to Philly.
Unbelievable.
So, we are now 2 weeks away from byes being a thing of the past, Matthew. Some lineups, some teams may have already basically had every player of consequence go through his respective bye, right? I mean, there are certainly some teams that are going to, I mean, you're going to have to do with Patrick Mahomes coming up on a bye and things like that. But if you're somebody that has seen the bulk of your roster go through a bye, especially your star players go through a bye, I don't hate the idea of adding either Darius Slayton or Daniel Jones, especially if you have a sticky quarterback situation right now.
Sure, sure.
Because when you get to that playoff schedule, if this continues, especially if especially Daniel Jones, I should say, because Jones, you know, has been good three separate times against bad teams, then you might have players that you could insert into your lineups in the playoffs. And I know you're saying, like, you're really going to start Daniel Jones in the playoffs. Well, look at some of the quarterbacks that have been less than we expected.
Yeah,
I mean, Drew
sure.
Brees laid an egg against the Falcons yesterday.
Craziness.
Like, so things can, weird stuff happens in fantasy football. Like, maybe you're concerned. I'm not saying you're going to bench Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs have a very difficult schedule in the playoffs. The Saints have a very difficult schedule in the playoffs.
And there are certain there
guys
are certain,
who have been inconsistent.
Yeah, you don't feel great about Baker Mayfield.
Russell Wilson struggles tonight against the 49ers.
Yeah.
They play, have a chance to play them again. You could be like, whoa! You know, what are
Carson
you going to do
there? Carson Wentz hasn't been what you drafted
right.
him to be.
It's not totally inconceivable that your quarterback could be less than what you've expected so far.
Right.
So Ryan Tannehill, speaking of quarterbacks,
Brady. Tom Brady, for all his greatness, if you look at what his numbers are in the fantasy playoffs, they tend to go more run heavy as it gets close. Like, he has never been, at least in recent memory, he's never been a huge fantasy star during the fantasy playoffs, as great as Tom Brady is. And so you could certainly see a scenario in which Daniel Jones will have value during the fantasy playoffs in addition to Darius Slayton.
Two more quarterbacks here, Matthew, because again, sort of same idea. Ryan Tannehill and Kyle Allen. Tannehill goes for 18.9 fantasy points. They're now 3-1 in games he's started. Now, he's heads on to a bye. Obviously, a massive win yesterday over Kansas City.
Huge.
Kyle Allen throws for 300-plus yards, just 13.5 fantasy points, but he's a starter for a long time as Cam Newton's been placed on injured reserve. Kyle Allen plays the Falcons next week.
Yeah.
Something or nothing for either one of these players, because has Tannehill been good enough that you could roster him for a week before he even plays and then throw him into your lineup? And same deal for Kyle Allen. Like, should Kyle Allen be a streaming option for you in week 11 with, again, four more quarterbacks on a bye? Not, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but not as many of like the top quarterbacks, but still, you've got guys like Kyler Murray on a bye this week. I'm sorry, not this week. Maybe next week. But anyways, Aaron Rodgers on a bye amongst other players. There's some good players on a bye this week.
Yes. And so I'm going to say something for both these guys. Ryan Tannehill's been a revelation, and I mean, it continues to just make Marcus Mariota and his struggles look worse and worse and worse, but Tannehill's looked good. Like, in the last four games, he's the 10th best quarterback in fantasy on a per game basis.
Yeah.
18. He's a top 10 fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback over the last 4 weeks on a point per game basis, averaging over 20 fantasy points per game. And you know, you've mentioned this before. We've talked about this. People forget that Ryan Tannehill started his career at Texas A&M as a wide receiver. He's much more mobile than I think he sort of gets credit for. 7 for 75 and a touchdown over the last 2 weeks just with his legs. And so, yeah, that's a hell of a win for Tennessee. That's a hell of a win for them against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Tannehill, with no Corey Davis in this game, no Delanie Walker in this game.
Pretty impressive, huh?
You know, especially when you think about how run heavy they want to be. Like, yes, I think Tannehill is a viable streamer this week and going forward. And
not this week. Tannehill's on
a bye. Well, he's on a bye, but I'm just saying, like, and same with Kyle Allen. Like, again,
I like Kyle Allen this week against Atlanta. I know Tannehill was way better, obviously, yesterday, but believe it or not, not going to buy into the Falcons being like, you know, this reformed defense after just one game.
Yeah, I'm not either. You know, so Kyle Allen, like, I mean, Kyle Allen, they lost that game to the Packers, but I was impressed as hell with Kyle Allen, like getting no protection whatsoever on the road at Lambeau, snowing, bad conditions, like, you know, and I thought some interesting play calling. You know, maybe I'm looking at this too much from a fantasy perspective, but I'm just like, why are you not dumping it off to the most explosive player in the NFL right now? I don't know. It felt like they could have involved McCaffrey more, especially on that last drive, but whatever. Kyle Allen is, you know, listen, you wish he was a little bit more accurate at times, but given the conditions yesterday, like, he's a gutty kid.
He's made, eight starts in his career. Like, I'm actually encouraged, and I'm with you here. I'm encouraged by the overall trajectory.
I've made good calls and bad calls. I believe one of my best calls of the year was when Cam Newton was out, the very first thing I said, guys, Kyle Allen can play. You guys, like, and I was just like, he's going to be a lot better than you think he is. And I had him as a love that first week against Arizona. Like, Kyle Allen can play. Like, I'm, you know, I think the Carolina Panthers have a decision to make this offseason.
They sure do. We'll get into that much more as we get closer to the end of the season.
But I like Kyle Allen as a streamer. I agree with you. I think both things are something. Tannehill and Kyle Allen, depending on what your needs are this week or for the future, I think both are viable pickups.
You know that fantasy football feeling when the excitement of a new week builds? You flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. But what if I told you that you could use those skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every day? TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of those same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money so you can practice trading risk-free. There's charting to help you spot trends in the market. And they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC. Unfortunately for the Falcons, during a dominant win over the Saints, running back Devontae Freeman gets injured with what is called a foot issue for now. We do not, and this is 10:30 on the East Coast on Monday, know the severity of Devontae Freeman's foot injury. But we do know that Brian Hill is the next man up. Brian Hill had 20 carries for 61 yards, 10-yard touchdown reception as well. Hill, for those unfamiliar, was a former fifth-round pick out of Wyoming who started his career with the Falcons, got waived, claimed by the Bengals, waived by the Bengals, claimed again by the Falcons. In a world in which Devontae Freeman misses time, Matthew, is Brian Hill an RB2? Is he a...
Yes.
Is it flex play? RB2?
I think so. Look, it's a good offense. The struggles that Atlanta has had this year has been defensive.
Right.
You know, they've been able to move the ball fairly effectively. And so with Ito Smith on IR,
yep.
If Devontae Freeman, you know, we talked about him a little bit last week as well. This is kind of an interesting pickup if you follow social media over the weekend. Yeah, I mean, Brian Hill's going to be the guy. You know, I was encouraged by the fact that he caught the touchdown pass. It's one play, whatever. But the fact that he could be used as a three-down back, that they're comfortable throwing him the ball, that he's a decent pass catcher as well. It's a pretty thin depth chart after Brian Hill. My expectation,
might have to make a move there.
Yeah. My expectation is they'll sign somebody or maybe they'll
promote someone from the practice squad,
but
something like that.
Yep. My expectation is that if Devontae Freeman is to miss some time here, and we don't know as we record this Monday morning at 10:32 a.m., we don't know the extent of the injury, but if he were to miss some time, I would think Brian Hill would be your number one pickup on your free agent finds column.
It is. We are at the juncture of the season, by the way, for those, just as a message, sort of like a PSA, where free agent finds is not quite the same column as it was in week 3, right? Now, injuries can certainly change things, but most of the players that we've been pounding the table for several weeks have either crossed the 50% threshold or things have changed for them. But yes, Brian Hill currently listed as my number one waiver ad of the week, a player that just based off of opportunity alone has a chance that, you know, this is 20 or so carries. This is the same sort of workload you could have expected out of Mark Walton, just in a better, more efficient offense with more chances for a touchdown for Brian Hill.
20 for 61 probably doesn't look great.
It does not.
But
20
Saints,
is the number I'm more concerned with.
Well, sure. I mean, exactly. I mean, again, 20 for 61 probably doesn't look great, but you have to understand, the Saints are a really good defense, despite what happened yesterday. Like, the Saints are a very good defense,
yep.
And so, I don't know, getting 61 yards, you know, in a game that you weren't expected to do much against the Saints, like, yes, I agree with you. I'm much more encouraged by 20 versus a 61, and they obviously had the lead in this game, but still, yes, I would think that if Freeman misses time, Hill is your number one pickup.
So Ronald Jones had his best game as a receiver yesterday in the NFL. 11 carries for 29 yards with a touchdown, but 8 catches for 77 yards, which means 22.6 fantasy points for Rojo. Eye test tells you it's a changed player. He certainly looks much, much more confident this year, Matthew. Are we trusting Ronald Jones now?
I think sort of, kind of. Yeah. To the extent you trust anyone in the Buccaneers offense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, well, you trust Evans and Godwin, obviously,
right,
but
right.
Yeah, certainly in the backfield. I mean, the 8 catches for 77 yards is what really caught my eye, because that's always been a part of his game that
he had 8 catches coming into the game for the whole season.
Right. And so that's never been a big part of a Bruce Arians offense either, by the way. It's always been much more about downfield passing. And so dumping off to the running back, like
David Johnson had some good years under Bruce.
Yes, obviously. I mean, it's weird. I don't think of David Johnson as like a human. I mean, like, he's not like a normal. I'm just saying, like, when we have David Johnson.
Tough day
with
David Johnson for you right now, huh?
No, I mean, David Johnson was so inhuman, was so unbelievable in his years with Bruce. You know what I mean? Like, he's an outlier, right, is what I mean. Just because he's phenomenally talented. That's what I mean.
Yep.
But other than David Johnson, you haven't seen it a ton. Anyway, the fact is, we certainly haven't seen it with Tampa Bay this year. And so it was certainly nice to see with Ronald Jones. He's now scored in 3 of his past 4, 2 of the last 3. I'm sorry, each of the last 2 games and 3 of the last 4, he scored a rushing touchdown. And so, yeah, you know, Bruce Arians this week sort of said, like, hey, I think Ronald Jones deserves more opportunity. And certainly in terms of total touches, he got it in this game, a game in which the Buccaneers won.
They did. They won this game. It was actually a very entertaining game.
Yes.
This is a game, kind of reminds me of like the random NBA game that goes like 132 to 128, even if it features like 2 of the worst teams in the NBA. Important win for Tampa Bay, snapping that 4-game loss. But Matthew, sort of a fantasy go situation here. O.J. Howard had 4 catches for 47 yards and a touchdown. Now, he also played against the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
Who have been, I mean, like, historically poor defending tight ends so far this year.
They have been.
Basically, every notable category in tight end stats, they are the worst in the NFL. Now, I've long said this, like, I think sometimes tight end stats need to take with a grain of salt because there are so few capable tight ends. But they've even made less than capable tight ends look awesome. Here's the difference. O.J. Howard is good. Like, this is what he should be doing. We should not be surprised by 4 for 47 with a touchdown for O.J. Howard.
Yeah. No, he's the 8th different tight end to score over 11 fantasy points against the Arizona Cardinals so far this year. Still has yet to have more than 4 catches in a game so far this year. Just 1 game with 50 or more receiving yards. I think, look, it's encouraging in that he did what a tight end should do against the Arizona Cardinals, right? He was productive. But we need to see more of it. Now, the tight end position is so desolate that he's certainly worth picking up. I would assume he makes your free agent finds
column. He does, and I say in there, I just, you know, like, listen, it's not that I'm saying you have to start him because of what he did this past week. It's more that if this is part Arizona Cardinals defense and part he's now healthy and the Buccaneers have messaged something to him that, like, we need you and you are going to be the guy at this position going forward, then that part might be more important and might eventually earn him into your lineup every single week.
Home to New Orleans, at Atlanta, at Jacksonville, home to Indy. It's actually not a bad schedule for tight ends coming up. And so
they had their bye, which is important too.
Right.
Like, you're looking at players right now that you're going to have to factor 1 week of them not playing for the next 2, and he's not one of them. We're going to come back and talk about a player who had 0 fantasy points, but we found out it's going to happen 90 minutes before the game begins. But first, a message from the Fantasy Show.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy, Fantasy Focus.
The Chiefs fall to the Titans yesterday, but before the game, LeSean McCoy was announced as an inactive. The initial interpretation of that, at least from my view, Matthew, was, oh, the fumble a couple of weeks ago, the ineffectiveness since. They have benched LeSean McCoy, and then next thing you know, maybe 5 minutes or so later, several of the reporters at the game all got the same message. A lot of tweets saying, I'm told this is a rest game. So clearly the Chiefs worked hard, or I don't know, somebody worked hard to make sure that it was clear this was a rest opportunity for LeSean McCoy. Some load management, if you will. But are you buying that, Matthew? Do you think that the Chiefs would actually rest LeSean McCoy? I haven't thought too much about this, but can you recall a player being rested in an NFL game when it wasn't like week 15, 16, or 17? There's still a lot to play for.
So Adam Teich, who covers the Chiefs for us here at ESPN, tweeted this, about right after it was announced that he was a healthy scratch.
Okay.
LeSean McCoy being inactive is due to 3 factors: his fumbling problem, Damian Williams is healthy and playing better, and the Chiefs desire to get Darwin Thompson into the playing rotation. Now,
that is what I bought into.
Right, me too. But then, yes, to your point, a lot of other reporters that cover the team tweeted out the fact that yes, this was an expected rest day.
Like think about
it's
this.
It's bizarre
though.
To me.
They were 6-3. Like it'd be one thing if you were, you know, if you were the 49ers and you're 8-0 and the rest of your division stinks. But like right now, if the play, and I know they don't, but the playoffs began today. The Chiefs will be the fourth seed in the AFC. Like, yeah.
And this is a tough road game on the road at Tennessee.
Well, and again, I'm not trying
By the way, Darwin Thompson, I believe, got one carry.
Yeah. I think he had two total touches yesterday. Maybe one carry. Yes. So right now, Matthew, so maybe next week they bounce back and next Monday night he'll be playing. But that's a Monday night football game. There's a lot of risk right now. So I think right now I don't feel prepared to make a full-on assessment of LeSean McCoy's status until we hear more from Andy Reid, probably starting Thursday of this week when they're back into their preparation for the Chargers.
Yeah, they play the Rams in Mexico City on Monday Night Football, that should be a real fun one.
But one thing that's become clear, though, at least over the past couple of weeks, is that this is Damian Williams' job right now.
Yeah.
I say right now, very, very specifically.
Well, because here's the thing. He had a fumble that was returned for a touchdown in a game they lost.
Yeah.
Now they went right back to Damian Williams, but LeSean McCoy wasn't active. So, yep. I mean, maybe there's some, like, if you want to hang your hat on anything, a positive note would be the fact that Daryl Williams was active for this game, and they like Daryl Williams. I mean, Daryl Williams, when Williams and McCoy were a little bit banged up earlier in the year, got some decent runs. So if it was a doghouse situation, you know, they might not have gone immediately back to Damian Williams, which they did.
Right. It's interesting. It's really interesting.
And I don't know that, I mean, listen, yeah.
But here's the difference.
Losing the fumble and it being returned for a touchdown obviously is brutal, but that's not why the Chiefs lost that game. It's one of the factors,
sure,
but
one
like
of the reasons. Right.
But their
right.
defense let them down.
So just to put a pin on this, Matthew, last year it doesn't matter who plays in the Chiefs backfield. That player is going to have huge fantasy value.
Right.
This year it does matter. They're averaging just 22.8 fantasy points per game this season amongst all Chiefs running backs.
Yeah, yeah.
You need clarity.
Yeah.
And right now, the clearest picture suggests it's Damian Williams' job. But after that fumble yesterday, who's to say LeSean McCoy won't get right back into the fray next week? This is just a tricky one for right now.
He is a shaky but filled with upside RB2
right.
is what he is right now. And when my ranks come out, and I'm sure same as you, I will have Damian Williams ranked the highest of any Kansas City Chief running back and by a significant margin.
Right. And I will, by the way, I will have LeSean McCoy ranked. I will take them at their word that this is a true rest game. He'll be back in the lineup next week.
But here's the weird part.
It's weird.
Because if that were the case, why not dress him and just not play him? Because you never know. Like, I mean, somebody gets hurt Like, what if Damian Williams had gotten hurt? Then you're just going with Daryl Williams and Darwin Thompson?
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
Numbers game. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
It's weird.
He's not going to play special teams. So you're all right.
Right.
Yeah. But
let's move along to some clunkers.
It's a weird one to us. And I will say that if you have LeSean McCoy on your team, you cannot be feeling good now.
You drop him?
I wouldn't have a problem. Like, let me put it this way. If I saw LeSean McCoy on my waiver wire in one of my leagues, I'm not picking him up.
Right. If you could drop LeSean McCoy to add Brian Hill, would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah. Matthew,
you agree?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I guess my point is
that
he's
so week to week, right? I mean, let's just imagine quickly. If he has a great game next week, who's to say they won't pull the plug after the bye, right? Because they have a bye in week 12, by the way. All right, Matthew, we had a bunch of clunkers yesterday. If they are nothing to you, then you just move along. If they are something to you, let me have it.
I want to say this to America. If you had a bad fantasy day yesterday,
you're
you should, not only are you not alone, but you should feel good about yourself, actually, because it means you probably have a very good team, because not a lot of superstars showed
Let's
up.
Let's get to it.
I have a team where I got my butt kicked, right? And the guy started Christian Kirk and Darius Slayton against me.
Yeah.
And I had Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp on that. Here's my question for you. What is more shocking? What is the most shocking thing? Because a couple of things that
that's
were absolutely. So Cooper Kupp with 0 fantasy points against the Steelers.
It's not even,
100%. Is it that, or is it Drew Brees attempting 45 pass attempts against a 1-7 team at home? The Saints were at home against a 1-7 team with one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and Drew Brees throws the ball 45 times and doesn't score a touchdown.
Did you hear yourself? Zero catches. Cooper Kupp, who entered week 10 with a top 5 target share so far this year. Yeah. Who entered the week as, I believe, the 5th best wide receiver in fantasy, who is coming off of a game in which he had 200 plus yards. Good news, bad news. Cooper Kupp is averaging over 100 yards per game in his last two outings. Bad news. He had zero on Sunday.
Right.
Zero!
Against the Steelers, who for years have struggled against slot receivers.
I think we need to put that narrative to bed a little bit, because they've been much better in recent weeks. They just have been much better across the board defensively. Maybe we need
to fade
the Steelers slot narrative a bit. But okay, so here we go. Saquon Barkley, 8.1 fantasy points. Matthew had 13 carries for 1 yard. He had negative 13 yards before contact yesterday. This Giants offensive line is a disaster right now. Does it mean anything for Saquon going forward, or is it just that, hey, as much as we thought he was the clear-cut RB1 coming into the season, he's more like RB5.
I think that's right. So right now he's averaging 16.7 fantasy points per game. He's running back 11 on a points-per-game basis, which is still very viable and useful.
Of course.
Just not what you spent the number one overall pick on, right?
Yep.
If you had to do it over again, you'd take Christian McCaffrey number one overall. And so his upcoming schedule, look, they're on a bye this week. You hope basically Pat Shurmur, you know, digs down and tries to figure out what they can do to get him into space. You don't love the schedule, right? So it's a bye, and then it's at Chicago.
Right.
Home to Green Bay. That's a little bit better. At Philadelphia, which has struggled recently against the run, was good early on, struggled recently against the run. Maybe by that time they're a little bit healthier on the defensive line. Hopefully they've gotten some things figured out. So you don't love the schedule, but yes, I don't know that there's much you can do. It's going to be tough to sell Saquon Barkley, you know, to try to trade him. I think you're just rolling him out there. You just have to level set expectations.
Cooper Kupp, yesterday we talked about it. Zero catches. Yeah, Matthew's little Cooper Kupp, zero.
Still my little Cooper Kupp.
I'm still,
I'm not bailing after one game. Still
so
my little Cooper Kupp.
He's been a bit Jekyll and Hyde so far this year. He's got 4 games inside the top 10. That's good. Also got 4 games outside the top 30, Matthew. But again, is it just accepting the reality that some weeks are not going to be as good as others and understanding that there may never be a game again in his career where he goes 0-for-0 as long as he stays healthy in that game?
Yeah, I would think that's the case. Look, the Rams offense looks broken compared to what we think they are.
Remember Jared Goff? I'm starting to forget.
How much of his contract is guaranteed?
Like $107 million.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Feels like a lot to me.
It feels like a lot.
Yeah.
Feels like a lot. So, you know, that's a tough one here. And, you know, you have to ultimately trust in Sean McVay and his staff to get this figured out. I believe ultimately they will. But, given Brandon Cooks, and his absence, from the team, like, you have to believe that they'll figure out different ways to get Cooper up. It appeared as if the Steelers made a point of, we're going to take Cooper Kupp out of this game. And so as a result, Gerald Everett had a nice game. Robert Woods had a nice game.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams offense just stinks on the road, and the offensive line just stinks, period. Zach Pascal, Matthew, 2-for-26 yesterday. Not a great day for the Colts wide receiver, who we thought would be a clear-cut number one option in their passing game. As a matter of fact, terrible day. They lost to the Dolphins. This is the same Colts
I think it's
team.
The first time since, I want to say, it's been a long time. I don't know the exact number, but that 3 1-win teams won.
Yeah, it's been a while.
This far into the season, right.
Yeah. I bet Kyle could find a great stat. The Dolphins now have a multi-game winning streak. There are definitely like other
9-7 the hard way, baby.
Well,
go Dolphins!
Right? Zach Pascal, but Matthew, like kind of
number one pick still in reach for my Washington Redskins. Only the Bengals in our way.
The Bengals are.
We can do it. Come on, Redskins! Hail the Redskins! Hail victory!
The Bengals totally have that one.
They got a game against Miami though.
They're going to lose that one.
Maybe not. We'll see.
Zach Pascal, the Matthew, disappointing. Probably a reminder that part of what happens with a player, he's going to be, you must take the good with the bad. He's going to have some atypically strong weeks like last week, and he's going to have some weeks like yesterday where he disappoints.
I agree with that.
Zach Pascal. In the Saints, Matthew, do we just wash away
and you'll feel
yesterday?
Better about it. By the way, Jacoby Brissett felt he wasn't a game time decision. He was ruled out on Saturday, but he practiced a decent amount this week.
Yeah.
Feels like he's close to returning.
Yep, has a chance. Brian Hoyer, really disappointed in that game. And the Saints, Matthew, we can be quick here. Disappointing, but I mean, really?
What a weird game.
Yeah, just a weird game. Alvin Kamara still has 8 catches, 15.4 fantasy points. And Drew Brees, 45 attempts, I'll take that. If you told me 45 attempts at home against the Falcons,
Sign up for that all day, every day.
Every single day. All right, the Dolphins turned to your boy, Kalen Ballage, yesterday. Matthew, you got 20 carries for 43 yards and 4 catches for a robust 2 yards, 8.5 fantasy points. Does it even matter that he's the starter in Miami?
No, it doesn't. Like, yeah. It's a bummer. I you know, he has not been good this year. But in fairness to Kalen Ballage, no one, there has not been one effective running back. Kenyon Drake wasn't any good behind that Dolphins line. Mark Walton, in the short time that he got run, didn't do very much either. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Ballage was like, whatever. I mean, he got you 8 fantasy points in this one. But I will say that I see a lot of people taking victory laps on Twitter about, you know, we warned you against Kalen Ballage. Kalen Ballage's ADP was running back 49. He wasn't even drafted in 61% of ESPN leagues. Yeah. Like, if you drafted Kalen Ballage, and look, I'll cop to it. Like, I liked him as a sleeper. I thought there was a path to fantasy relevance for Kalen Ballage, which, by the way, there was. Who knew they were going to be this epically bad? I mean, Kalen Ballage is now the starter. He's gotten some run. So he's got an opportunity. He just hasn't done much with it, like any Dolphins running back hasn't. So, I mean, whatever. Running back 49. If you drafted him in your last round, whatever. You've been able to drop him and pick him up. It didn't kill you the way that, like, I don't know, drafting David Montgomery did. David Montgomery was drafted as running back 20. Anyone excited about David Montgomery? Like,
no,
you've gotten,
but
he's gotten some touchdowns for
you. Ballage is for noobs, man.
David Montgomery won me a board bet this week.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who's it against, me?
I was forced into a board bet of David Montgomery being top 20. If you remember, I got shamed into it. Will David Montgomery be a top 20 running back?
Did I vote against you?
Nope.
Mike,
was it me?
Yes.
I voted against you?
Yeah.
We do board bets, you and I?
You and I did it on Friday, actually.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Well done.
So, and I lost that one?
Yeah. Did you lose if David Montgomery was a top 20 running back?
I have no idea. I don't remember this board bet.
Right. He was running back 34 this week.
There you go.
Just missed. Well, technically, with 2 more teams to play tonight.
You're right.
Oh, wait.
No, wait.
No.
That goes the other direction.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Kalen Ballage's role does not matter to us right now.
He could be running back 37 after Coleman, Breida, and Carson.
Here's
and who knows, maybe Rashad Penny gets lucky on a play.
Gets in the end zone twice.
Yeah,
here's what does matter to me, though, for the Dolphins. They're playing hard. They're playing really hard. Brian Flores, trust that man.
But
Juju's...
I just want to make this one last point, and then we can move on. It's unbelievable to me the amount of other fantasy analysts that are taking victory laps on dumping on Kalen Ballage. And you're like, he was running back 49.
Dude, I mean,
it's unreal to me.
Does anybody hear me talking about the fact that I had Marcus Mariota outside my top 25 quarterbacks this year? I nailed that one, huh?
There you go. So, nice job.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nailed it.
Exactly. It's
all right. Juju Smith-Schuster. I know.
I said, don't draft Eli Manning. Woo. Oh yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like,
how
at some
far
point,
down your,
that's
same...
right. I shot some fish in a barrel. Boom.
Juju Smith-Schuster, 3 for 44 yesterday, Matthew. Man. Juju, no longer Juju. No more than 3 catches in 5 of his past 7 games. He's been held under 7.5 fantasy points.
Do you
in
want
three
to boo
of his
boo
past
Juju?
4 games. Sure, sort of. I don't know. I'm just going to boo Juju. Benching him? You benching Juju Smith-Schuster?
Oh,
benching
boy.
Juju. Top 10 in terms of ADP coming into the season amongst wide receivers. He's wide receiver 55 on a per-game basis since week 4.
He's been held under 7.5 fantasy points in 3 of the last 4.
Yeah.
He plays at Cleveland this week on a short week. I'm hanging tough with him. God, he's been so brutal. And the passing game's brutal. Look at their schedule.
Hold on, though.
At Cleveland, at Cincinnati, home to Cleveland, at Arizona.
I would have to, and I would actually love to hear from people that might actually follow the Steelers day-to-day.
The Squealers.
The Squealers incredibly closely day-to-day. Excuse me. Sorry, Allison. It feels like the formula right now on defense is let's make sure that we do everything in our power to not allow Juju to be the passing game threat that beats us. And if you're going to get one down the field to James Washington or Deontay Johnson, we'll live with that. Because right now, Juju, but I think Juju for this week, he will not be inside my top 30. I'll say that much.
It's hard to argue. I mean, like, it's...
Why would you?
The reason why you would is because you remember what kind of talent this kid has.
I know.
That you know, but...
I know.
Like...
They've been neutralized. They have been neutralized significantly. It's tough. It's a very tough one. We'll talk more about where he ranks.
Do, and we can do this tomorrow because I know we're running short on time. We should do a... we should do it. Oh, we could do it real quickly. No, you don't want to do it? I was going to do a name game on Juju. No? Get on mic.
I think we'll do it tomorrow.
All right.
Well, unless you want to cut some of these other topics, which I'm happy to do. But we're just running short on time. We can do Juju. We just haven't prepared one for you.
All right. We'll prepare one. Find a good name game tweet. It is Veterans Day, Secret Squirrel, so I will heed your wishes.
Oh, I appreciate that, seeing as how you work for me. Thank you for letting that happen.
I don't.
Well.
Do I work for you?
I
don't. By the way, I don't think you want that, because I don't think I'm a particularly good reflection on you. If some of a boss's self-worth is, you know, what his employees, you know, do and produce and everything like that, like, I don't think I'm a particularly good reflection on you.
I think you're a great reflection on me, Matthew.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you very much.
You guys look a lot alike when you say reflection.
Okay.
Wow. Well, I thought he meant up my bald head.
Right.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I got a shiny forehead. I can see myself when I look at you. Yeah.
Fair.
Joe Mixon yesterday had 114 yards rushing. Against the Ravens. Does it matter, Matthew? Or was this like the inverse junk time? Like they were getting their butts kicked so much that they actually got rushing yardage, not passing yardage.
It matters, and it matters for this reason.
Okay.
So Giovanni Bernard got banged up in this game.
Yep.
So that's helpful.
The rare, you know what happened? They actually ruled him out, and then they declared him doubtful to return.
Yep.
And then they actually brought him back into the game.
Right.
Trending upwards, baby. How's that for a fantasy trend?
How about the Bengals?
Yeah.
Here's why it matters. Because you should immediately sell Joe Mixon for whatever you can get.
Oh, okay. Fair
That's
enough.
What I'm saying. Hey, listen, 30 carries, 114 yards, 17 fantasy points. He caught two balls for 37 yards. Joe Mixon's back, baby. Sell.
I'm with you. If you can get anything. I mean, anything for
anything
Joe Mixon.
Anything of value.
Yep.
Yeah, listen, but if you've been slogging through with Joe Mixon so far, you have to feel encouraged.
Does he have a rushing touchdown this year? One?
I feel like he does.
He might have one.
Thirsty Kyle's going to look that up.
I know he has that short receiving touchdown.
Right.
But I
feel like he has one rushing touchdown.
Wow. Impressive.
But he's been trying to think if there's been a bigger non-injury related bust than Joe Mixon. Juju's up there. I think Mixon's been worse than Juju, though. Because at least you can, I mean, Juju's had a, I mean, it'd be interesting to see.
I would think, by the way, he has zero rushing touchdowns. I bet he leads the NFL in terms of rushing attempts without a rushing touchdown this year. I'm sure Kyle can confirm that for a later time. But I think it's the biggest bust. Yeah, for sure.
Gotta be.
He is. Last one here, Matthew, is what's the deal with Stephon Diggs? Last night, three catches for 49 yards. Now, they won that game. But look at his wide receiver finishes over the past six games.
Right.
52, 1, 8, 12, 81, and as of right now, 39.
And no Adam Thielen in this game, and so, and they moved the ball effectively. Now, like, and by the way, a lot of the production that led him to be wide receiver 39 heading into Monday Night Football was on a crazy catch that was originally ruled incomplete, and they had to review it, and then,
right.
I mean, it was, if he doesn't make an unbelievable catch, like, on his back with one hand, like, it's even worse than it is, and so it's super weird. Like, look, I mean, but they gave him an end zone target last night. Like, he almost came down with it, and, you know, it was just weird. You know, Kyle Rudolph. What are the odds that Kyle Rudolph catches two touchdowns? And a two-point conversion.
My war room team is happy about it.
I'm sure. Oh, did you played Rudolph again?
Yeah.
Look at you. Go.
We're
go Irish Twins.
Heavyweight bat with Adam Schefter right
Oh,
now,
so. Goodness. Well, listen, Scott Clark rolled me like a piece of dough. Like, I had a horrible game. Like, every single guy on my team didn't show up. Jalen Samuels, Todd Gurley, like, Stephon Diggs. None of those guys. Evan Ingram was out. Darren Waller, you know, wasn't great either. So all my guys didn't show up, but it didn't matter. Scott Clarked me. Like, cause he had the Ravens defense. He got more touchdowns from the Ravens defense and his tight end than my entire team had. Wow, like, I mean, impressive. I had Stephon Diggs. Like, it just.
Scott's been ravaged by injuries of late, but he's got a very good team.
He does.
As he
indeed.
Always does in the war room. By the way.
Yeah, but literally beat me like 175 to 75.
Okay.
Like, every single guy on my team did not show up. What?
Do you have anybody left tonight?
No, I don't. Like,
okay.
I'm done.
So you're done. Okay.
Oh, I mean, like.
I was going to say, like, you know, Jason Myers could knock 42 field goals in. Last thing, and I have is, Daniel has some notes from us, but I need someone who follows Colorado State football to tell me something.
Okay.
They had Preston Williams, BC Johnson, and Michael Gallup in the same receiving group at one time? Did they score like 100 points a game? How do they not win more games? How was I not more aware of the fact that a Colorado State football team had three future NFL wide receivers? All right, Daniel, hit the drop.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
A little bit of news right now. NFL Network reports that Austin Hooper is going to miss some time. He's actually having an MRI on his knee today.
Oh,
Hooper, who has been outstanding this year. And
who you believe will be a very rich man
next year. I keep saying it. If he does not receive the franchise tag, I think Austin Hooper will sign the largest contract in NFL history for a tight end, depending on whether he does it before or after George Kittle's eventual extension with the 49ers. I think Kittle will reset the market. But yeah, I think Hooper's going to be super rich. He has got a knee issue, Matthew, which could cost him some time. So there are a couple of components here. One, we don't know, like, is it a major knee issue? Is it a minor knee issue?
Sure.
It's week 11. And I'm not suggesting that Austin Hooper is not competitive enough to not want to be out there, but you might be thinking for the future a little bit here if you're Austin Hooper. Like,
yeah,
let's say it's a four-week injury. Just say it is, right? Get you to week 15. Like, are you going to say, like, yeah, I'll be back out there week 16, 17 if your team is something like, you know, 4-10?
It's a lost season for the Atlanta Falcons. To your point, he's going to be a free agent. Why wouldn't you wouldn't blame the player for wanting to be safe,
yep,
to play it safe and be
cautious.
He's tied
on one on a per game basis here, too. He's been unbelievable.
He's been nothing. So it's a significant injury in the world of fantasy football, not just only for the Falcons and their passing attack, but for fantasy football. You downgrade Matt Ryan a little bit here. Doesn't feel like there's anyone on the Falcons that you immediately feel good about going out and picking up.
No player immediately that comes to mind from the in-house options for Atlanta. So let's look at some of the names outside, and some of these names are already on the waiver column for ESPN.com. That'll be out later on today. But
right, and you write free agent fines.
Yep.
So why don't you go ahead? We've
covered
some
ground here. OJ Howard, we talked about. My number one ad of the week, I think, if I had to pick one up amongst tight ends, I'm trying to think who I had as number one. Jack Doyle. It's got, I believe, six straight games with at least three catches, so not a ton of upside there with Jack Doyle, but the consistency is worth noting. We talked about Vance McDonald. He's available at 55. We talked about O.J. Howard, available in about 55% of leagues. Vance McDonald also available in 55% of leagues. How did Jack Doyle, I'm seeing on the screen, he's at 48% available. As of this morning, he was 45.4%. So maybe things have changed with rolling waivers or something.
Yeah, he's up to 51.3% rostered.
That's weird. I checked it this morning. He's at 45%. I'll take him off the waiver wire then.
There you go.
Kyle Rudolph, we just talked about him. Matthew, 64% available. Mike Gesicki, available in 87% of leagues. No obvious great options here, Matthew. There is no great tight end option, but certainly something to consider because Hooper has been the rock star of your team if you play in fantasy football.
Well, I'll give you one guy that's coming, that, by the way, that's been really good, and I don't have the stats up the top of my, but we talked about him on Fantasy Football Now, and that's Noah Fant. Noah Fant has gotten, since Emmanuel Sanders has been traded to the 49ers, Noah Fant has actually had a tremendous amount of a really nice target share, routes run for the Denver Broncos. So Noah Fant, I think, becomes kind of interesting if you're sort of, you know, searching down there. Darren Fells of the Houston Texans, who's available about 70% of leagues. He seems to have really kind of separated himself from Jordan Akins there in Houston, and the Texans, obviously, they're off a bye. They're at the Ravens, however. Maybe Chris Herndon, who came back.
Yeah. Limited yesterday. So limited. I wonder if that one might be a few more weeks.
The only reason I mentioned Herndon, they play the Redskins this week.
I know, but if he's like a barely even a part-time player, it's hard to have any, you know, major investment in him.
Right. And then of course, I was going to say Dallas Goedert, but they're playing the Patriots. You don't love that.
He's a co-starter too. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Tough news here on Austin Hooper. We'll get into it more because I imagine we'll have some updates later on today on the exact timeline for Austin Hooper, who has been a legitimate stud so far this season.
And speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, by the way, this came, actually, Fantasy Life app alerted to me this about 45 minutes ago, so apologies that I missed this. I put my phone down during the show, but Devontae Freeman initially diagnosed with a foot sprain, source said, and he'll have an MRI today to determine the extent of it. So we'll find out what the results. That's from NFL Network. So we will see what happens with Devontae Freeman and the results of that MRI. So we should know the status of him, at least heading into waivers.
Bad luck for the Falcons continues. Good thing they got that win yesterday to help change the tenor of their season. We're back tomorrow with all the latest on injury updates, a recap of the much-anticipated San Francisco-Seattle game tonight. We've got more stuff here, Daniel.
I'm also really excited about tomorrow. Not only is it your free agent fines column, but Disney Plus.
Disney Plus comes out
tomorrow, so make sure you're ready for that, baby.
Disney Plus, a great gift, great thing for yourself,
It's
so much good content there.
I will say, I'll just say this for myself. Like, and no one has asked me to say anything. Like, this is not a company man kind of thing. I will, I remember the at the ABC Disney upfront,
yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, which is a great joke. He says, listen, Disney Plus, you can either pay us $7 a month or you can raise your kids yourself. Which is a great joke. Which is an unbelievable joke. But the truth is, I mean, that when you think about, you know, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, Avengers Endgame,
loaded.
Starring a familiar face,
loaded.
By the way, available on Disney Plus. Just, you know, National Geographic, obviously Disney as well. Tons of original series. Like, for somebody who, like me, who's a MCU fanatic, I'm very excited about all the original series that are coming on. Like, they've got ones with Loki and Falcon and Winter Soldier and, Scarlet Witch and Vision. And so I'm very excited about that. But like, there is something for everyone. I cannot wait. Like, $7 a month, take my money. And, Bob Iger did announce, by the way, this is the part that's a company man. Bob Iger did announce that eventually there will be a bundle that you can buy that will get you Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. So you can enjoy the fantasy show with myself and Daniel Dopp.
That's right.
For, I believe, $15 a month.
Yeah, I think it's 13.
Is it 13?
Yeah, it's $12.99 a month.
$12.99 a month, $13. So in basically, ESPN Plus is $5 a month. Disney Plus is $7 a month. So in essence, basically, you get Hulu for a dollar.
That's right. And on Disney Plus, you can stream up to four simultaneous streams. So it's like you and your kids and your wife and someone away at college could all do that. Plus it's,
or your neighbor that
or
steals
your neighbor.
It. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And for me, like, I just, this is a nerdy thing, but like everything is going to, not everything, but they have 4K and HDR capability, which as somebody that like really likes, you know, you have a nice TV or something like that.
Sure,
to be able to have
Bragger.
All that. So
I like it. That's awesome.
Anyway, yeah. So happy Disney Plus Day. That is tomorrow. Very excited about that. Like, I am legit excited about Disney Plus, and that has nothing. That's not company man talking. That is just like fanboy nerding out talking.
Yeah,
right.
Man.
Disney
there.
Plus. Take your opportunity to sign up for it now. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
New episode of the Fantasy Show with ESPN Plus. Me and Daniel Dopp will be out later today. Thank you, Allison, and thank
Great
you,
job.
Veterans. Peace out.
Says he loves college hoops and talking tribe. Like Shefty and Secret Squirrel, he's a two-phone guy. If you look in the starter bowling league, he already has.